Good morning, Sherry, and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show.
Well, good morning.
I was just waiting for those seconds to tick to 9 a.m. So we're precisely on time, which we are right now.
Oh, isn't that exciting?
Very exciting. Well, we could say joy is not in things. It is in us. And so we find it exciting to watch the ticking of the clock from 8:59 to 9 a.m.
That's right. That's right. Because we're happy to be here for this, and we're happy to be here for the next this when that this is this.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the assignment was joy is not in things, it is in us. Today, smile each time you see the color blue, the color of intelligence and wisdom. Stop for a moment, take a breath, and sense the intelligence animating all life. RL, what you see about the importance of stopping often to be present to an experience of life living you.
Mm.
So without much more ado, here's our first caller.
Hello.
Live on the air. Hey.
Hello.
Anna.
Hello, hi. It's Anna in England.
Hello.
Hello. Twice in 1 week. It's a good week. I'm feeling really joyful.
Good.
I've really enjoyed today's quote and yesterday's assignment, and what I really liked about it all was Tuesday, I think it was yellow, and I was seeing all the daffodils, and they were sort of bobbing their heads about, and they were saying, you know, you can do this, and you know, break, and you know, the pain is breaking out of the bud. And then the next day was green, and that was compassion, and so that was the stems, and that was all the stems all together. And just what came to mind was all the daffodils, and you know we all love each other, we all like each other, we're all here, you know, having fun together. And then we've had lots of rain, and then today we had no rain and we have blue skies. Yeah, so I went for a run this morning in blue skies, and I was just sort of, sort of looking at the blue sky, and the joy is in us, and it was lovely. It was lovely, and I think what I got from today, or what I saw, was it's important to keep reminding ourselves to be present to life living us. Because, well, for me anyway, it just ultimately reminded me constantly of how completely and utterly, staggeringly amazing everything is, and that we're all one in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that reminder of the truth of that, right, and that all we have to do is come back to our present moment experience, and we know that that is so.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. You don't even have to do any of that thinking business. It does just come.
Right. Yeah, that thinking business that just gets in the way. Yeah. And yeah. Even the afterwards, too, which is it's so tempting for us and so understandable, to get pulled into a thinking about our experience after we have the experience. Mm. I think that's kind of a harmless little thing if we don't get too much into it, because it is joyful, and to touch, to be present, look at that blue sky and be present and to feel the joy inside and to realize that is the same joy that is in everything that exists. It's hard not to want to kind of get into that for a little while and talk about it with oneself.
Yeah.
And then still to to realize I don't know how to just say this part of it, but that even that can become a distraction if we're not careful, because
yeah.
we don't want to. Yeah, yeah. So in our excitement about talking about that feeling or that experience, we can watch ourselves get pulled away from the experience. And then we realize, wait a minute, why am I talking to myself about this when I could just be in this?
Yeah.
And we drop into it again. Yeah.
Yeah. It's having faith and trust, isn't it? I find that for me, it disappears if I sort of go after it or, yeah, keep into it. It just goes, doesn't it? It's just, all gone. It'll come again. It's fine. We'll just carry on and it'll come again.
Yes. Well, and when I stop doing everything else.
Yeah.
You know, when I stop thinking about it, stop looking for it, stop chasing it, because that only conditioned mind is going to try to chase the present. And we just stop all of that and get back here, get in the body, get with the breath. There's the blue sky. Ah, yes.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Wonderful. Yeah, it is.
Wonderful finish to the week, although we've still got the weekend to go. So yeah, it's been a really lovely week. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Take good care. Enjoy that weekend.
Yeah.
Well, All right. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you, Anna. You know, there isn't much to say after that, Sherry, so how about we hear from another next call?
That was kind of complete, wasn't it?
Yeah,
exactly.
Lovely, complete. Yeah. Here we go. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Laura in San Diego.
Hey, Laura.
So,
are you having some blue skies as well?
Oh, just a little. It couldn't be any clearer.
Wow, gorgeous. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't even believe the idea of I can't find the color blue,
right? If that's the case, we're really not paying attention, right?
So deep gratitude for this retreat. And one other thing, so it's kind of from the very beginning, I got into this conversation with how to, like, whether or not to put myself in the queue and, right, am I not participating too much, because that's not the way it was saying, is am I being greedy? And it was really interesting to watch that whole process around fear of taking up too much space. And like there's some rule, or that somehow, like I wanted to participate, and then I was scared that I would get, I would be next in the queue, and then I would be taking up too much space. So that was the fear in the very beginning. And then it was interesting to watch, like there was a whole like, well, should I star six or should I not star six? And then I would star six and then not, you know, there were other people who, and it was so fascinating to watch the voices jump from one side of torturing to the other side of torturing.
Yes. Yes. You're, it's too much. Okay. All right. I won't. Well, but you should.
Uh-huh.
But you shouldn't. But you should. But you shouldn't. But you should. But you shouldn't. Right? And
yeah,
that, and
yeah,
get that that's the whole game for ego. Right? It has nothing to do with the content. Nothing. You can. You can't. You can. You can't. You will. You won't. You will. You won't. You better. You better not.
Oh.
You better. You better not.
Yes. Even as you're saying it, like I can, the sensations just totally respond to it. It's there, and there's, it's the, you're the good, right person. Like there's an answer.
Yes.
Except if I choose that, then it's not that one.
It's not that one.
It's the other one.
And the huge thing for us to get out of that is it is safe to drop the content, because the only thing that's going on is that tug of war, that ping pong match. That's it. You can take the content completely out and just watch the voices going, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no.
Yep. And that's been my experience in life right now. It feels like it doesn't even feel like I'm seeing that process of torture everywhere in my life. And yeah. So this morning I woke up, the first thing I heard was, "You can't do it, right? You can't do this." And it felt like someone was speaking it out, like in the bedroom. And I just laid there for a second, and I was just like, I got out the recorder, and I made this recording, and it was, it wasn't anger, but it was like, it was like so sick of the voices. And I made this like, "Screw you voices" recording that, like, it felt like this vision I had at the monastery one time when I couldn't sleep, and I got up and walked around, and I was a basketball player growing up, and so that image of like the defender getting in between, like the mentor getting in between me, the voices, and the human.
Yeah.
And like it brings tears like to the eyes, like get out of here, like. Go, you don't get to have her. And so when I made the recording, like, I'm chuckling. So it was energy producing. And so I'm laughing, and my kids come up to me, and they're like, "What's so funny?" And so I kind of gave them the gist of what I was doing. They're like, "I want to hear." I'm like, "Oh, you actually can't hear this one. It's a little X-rated."
Mom's using bad language.
Of course, then they wanted to hear it even more. And,
right.
But it was just that it was such a like ironic pleasure to just get out of the conversation and get into a conversation of advocating for life.
Yes, and you know, Laura, this is another really, really important point. If we take what you just said about the there you are being tortured. So there's the human being tortured. There's the torturer, and there is the unconditional love in the form of the mentor. And those are the three characters that we're always dealing with, right? So those are the three characters. And what you describe is exactly the relationship that we're going for. So before we sort of catch on to it and really start practicing, a lot of the time it's just the human being and the torturer. And, of course, the human being doesn't know that there are two, entities here. It's just me. and people use the language of, and I'm beating myself up. And then we catch on to, no, there's actually a person being talked to and beaten up by a voice in the head. Okay, good. Now we can. There's that kind of distance and perspective on what's going on. And then we find the mentoring presence, the unconditional love. And what begins to happen is that the relationship between the human being and the unconditionally loving mentoring energy, that relationship becomes so all-consuming that there's simply no room for the negativity, for the torturer to get in. It's not that we have to do anything to that negativity. It's just the relationship precludes involvement by the negative voices. The human experience of that is falling in love, where there's just such a focus on, and, you know, people will fall in love with kittens and puppies too, so it doesn't necessarily require another human being, right? But there is such an experience of love that all of that other stuff just isn't there. It's as if it disappeared because there's no attention on it, making it real. And that's what we're doing with that unconditionally loving mentoring presence. That's what we want to be in relationship with. And once we get the hang of that, that's where the joy is, that's where we feel at home and complete and happy and grateful and all of those kinds of things, then that's the only relationship we want. We just simply don't want to give energy to that other old, torturing, miserable relationship we used to be in.
Feels really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that experience with other things. So it feels like what you guys talked on the radio show, not this week, but last week when Jen was talking about the Cantaloupe Project and the girls and just kind of having the people a few steps ahead, right? It's that when you speak of that, then I may not know that with this content. I know it with different content, and I know that you know it. So it's I can trust the practice. I can trust the process.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And that's a really important point, right? That's what kind of the whichever word you choose, faith or trust. You know, sometimes people will say faith is a hope for something, you know, that is kind of imagined and you sense is real and you have faith that is the case. But trust is based in your experience. So if you've had the experience once and you know you've had the experience once, then you know that you are capable of that experience. Now we're repeating that. Now we're looking for that. It's like looking for the blue sky. We are looking for that experience of presence, of interconnectedness, of joy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laura. And you know, Sherry, that it's just so beautiful that we can, because we know the process, we can trust the process, which is why it's applicable to all content. And that was so beautifully illustrated in that call. That I'm in that grip of conditioning and to pick up the recorder and move with whatever moves us to use the recorder in that way to release the joy that was trapped inside of us. And even if we can't describe it as a joyful experience, what is the laughter? She was chuckling and that brought the kids. Mm-hmm. And then there's just that whole cascade of joy, of advocating for life, that's not the narrative, but there's such an intuitive ability in us to reach for whatever it takes to get out of conditioning into that joyful place. And that's the process we start to develop faith and trust in, because it's our experience.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, because it's our experience, because we know it, not in an intellectual knowing it, but inside the marrow of our bones, we know it. Deep down in our hearts, we know it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what a great modeling for the kids, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Mira in Seattle.
Hey, Mira.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Mira.
Hi. Oh, well, I discovered, I think it was last week, one of the things that makes it so hard for me to call in, and that was it dropped in. I wear a monitor. It dropped in for me to check my heart rate. Well, I was just in the queue waiting. I didn't get on, but it was up at 142, and that's kind of high for just sitting in a seat. And it became really clear I'm never going to get through this if I just don't keep going back again and again. So I've made the commitment to do that, and I just wanted to say that part.
Okay, so let me understand, Mira.
Yeah.
So you wear a monitor to see what your heart rate is.
I just have this thing that I wear, and it dropped in to check my heart rate.
Okay.
Because I could feel
and
my
so
heart pounding.
It's not a fear thing. You're not worried that you're going to have a heart attack and die or something.
No, nothing like that.
It's just the realization that, wow, there's so much energy in my body right now that it's elevated my heart rate. You could be out for a little run, right?
Exactly. And that was just it. I mean, that's where it is when I'm out jogging, and to be having that experience just sitting and not really understanding, thinking that it meant something.
I think it does mean something. Yeah. I think it means that we have a lot of energy available to us that we don't make use of most of the time because the conversation in the head is siphoning it off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you had that amount of energy in your body all the time and you were, you know, you did the hello life, I'm available, what might life be able to do with you, right? If you had all that energy available in every moment. And how joyful, right? Because if we don't go up into our head to figure it out, I mean, you're just sitting there just boom, 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 you know, pulsating, right?
Exactly, because there was that kind of thought, well, maybe this is some of that thrum of life that you talk about.
Yes. Yeah. Life throbbing along through you in this particular manifestation we call Mira.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, and in a way that has cleaned me up in the past. It's been, this is too hard, you can't do this. Back away.
Oh, yes. Right, right. Instead of, this is exciting. This is thrilling. This is big.
Yeah.
This is big. And so in that same way, you know, somebody, a negative person, say, could come along and say, your heart rate is at 142 and you're just sitting there? Wow. And the implication that there's something really wrong with this. So you're going to, I don't know what you're going to do, but something in your life that conditioning would say is really hard for you, something that you can't do, right? And there you are, just, you know, vibrating with the energy to do that thing. And that negative voice would say, you are getting this wound up over doing that? What is the matter with you, right? But if we don't listen to that voice, we realize all that whoosh of energy through the body, it's not a negative thing. It is life giving us everything that we need to do what it is that we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Exciting.
It is exciting. And now there's a smile on my face instead of the, oh, no.
Uh-huh. Yes,
that
exactly.
That seemed to be waiting. With the previous caller, when you were talking about, I think it was something along the lines of having an experience and knowing that it's possible and then having the ability to recreate that in a future moment. I don't know if I quite got that right, but one of the things that's been torturing me is I had a birthday a couple of weeks ago, and I took the day off from work, and I spent the day just doing practices and making recordings. I recorded a love letter. I did meditation. It was just a really joyful day. And then one of the things that I did in the days that followed was I listened to those recordings over and over. But I mean, it became like I couldn't get back to that, all that joy that bubbled through on that one day. Like there was something special about that. And all the days that followed, he kept thinking, okay, well, maybe when it gets to the weekend and I don't have any responsibilities, maybe then I'll be able to do this. And I still couldn't get there. And it just, I finally had to stop listening to it because I was getting to this point of being almost catatonic where it was just making me so miserable that I was failing. And then as soon as I stopped trying, it started to come back again. The joy started to come back again. I don't know what to make of all that, but
that is a huge insight. That is a huge insight. So let me project onto the sequence of events, okay? So you gave yourself this day. You did everything that lights you up, that makes your heart sing. It was completely joyful. You recorded about it. When you listened to the recordings, you could hear the joy of that person was experiencing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And slowly, over time, conditioning just kind of slithered in there with this probably never articulated. You know, it's that kind of thing that where you just know the message without ever hearing the words, that it's just not quite as powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then it gets you to look at how you're not as that lit up. You're not really feeling it. It's not that. Okay, and if we watched kind of a little meter or something, so you start out, you listen to it, and you just go right back to that place, and you're right there again. And as conditioning works its evil on you, the meter is just slowly moving from joy to depression,
mm-hmm.
right? Until finally, you know, it's not it. I mean, this is really making you miserable. You need to stop listening to that. You need to, and all that happened is you went from having all of your attention on the recording to increasingly having your attention on an assessment of how you were feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we turn attention to an assessment in conditioned mind of how we're feeling, we're sunk. The really powerful part of that insight is that as soon as you stopped all of it, your attention began to look again for the joy. And there are.
That's right. And what became really clear about what was missing in all of those attempts to get back there is just presence and being again in center.
Yes. So just to be clear, that's one of those takeover places where ego was, in quotes, trying to get back there, which is code for make sure she doesn't get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I did a good job for a little while.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's a huge insight because what that lays out for all of us, however the details of it are, that process is exactly for each and every one of us how ego pulls us out of presence and gets us to give attention to it, convince us once again that it's real, that joy, presence stuff, that's not real. It just makes you unhappy, and you should quit doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not good at meditating. You know, it just makes you unhappy, so stop doing it. You know, you're not good at awareness practice. You know, you try, but you just can't really get it, and you should quit. It's the same process over and over and over and over. So to recognize it as a process, and also to realize what the missing piece was, right, that you were not giving full attention to the experience of being present, which you did so beautifully on your birthday, right? And so my encouragement is designate birthdays on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So I will tell you that for the first time in my life, I am doing something regularly that I have wanted to do all of my life, and that is to declare and maintain a Sabbath, which is the equivalent of your birthday, right? And it's a weekly event that I am committed to for exactly what you just laid out.
And it can happen more than once a year.
More than once a year. I'm going for once a week, and I hope you'll join me. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Mira.
Bye-bye. Bye, Ashwini.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mira. Bye-bye. You know, Sherry, that assignment is such a powerful one because it says, you know, joy is not in things, it's in us. And when we don't experience that, we know where we're looking. It's so clear. If I'm referencing conditioned mind, there is no joy in that. So what I need to do is to drop the conditioned process, which is what practice offers us as tools. Until we learn that that's what we have to do, that when I'm not feeling joyful, I'm not I'm in a conditioned process, therefore I have to do something to switch my attention. And we keep having that experience till we know to pick up the recorder and switch the attention, which brings us back to where Laura started, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, Anna, with the blue sky, right? We need to get here, all our attention here. When it is, that's the magic.
Right. Mm. That's right.
Yeah.
And it's that
beautiful.
All our attention, right? Because even if a
all our attention, that's right. Yeah, no corner of the eye checking with conditioned mind to see am I putting all of my attention on present? Am I really? We're not doing that. Oh my! And if it's for a split second, right? We don't have to idealize staying there for the rest of the day. Split second. It adds up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, here's our assignment since we're at that time. Millions of people long for immortality who do not know what to do with themselves on a rainy afternoon.
Ain't it the truth? because that's going to be different from what I'm experiencing now. Right? Because when immortality hits, then I'll be happy and satisfied and present and peaceful and joyful and Oh, that's good. How do we practice this?
Today, smile each time you see the color purple, the color of joy.
The color which, Ashwini? Wait.
Joy.
The color what?
Purple.
Ah, okay.
The color of joy. Take a deep breath and feel the tension in the body release as you attend to the beauty around you. Feel
all right,
the joy
now,
of living.
Ashwini, I don't know if it's me or you, but you sound a little bit underwater. So would you just do the assignment again?
Today, smile each time you see the color purple, the color of joy. Take a deep breath and feel the tension in the body release as you attend to the beauty around you. Feel the joy of living in the beauty of the eternal now.
Again, it just a split second, right? We don't have to feel the joy for the entire day. I mean, it'd be lovely if we did. But just we're going for those split seconds.
Well, and the split second has eternity built into it.
That's exactly right. That split second is the eternal now.
All right. We have today to practice that assignment, and then we get an assignment on Saturday and Sunday, and then we'll see everyone back on the show on Monday morning.
All right. Oh, that's right. It's Friday. All right. Well, thank you so much, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry, and thank you, everybody, and talk to you soon.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.